Chapter 34. Market Discontinuities.
"What's this look like to you, Marshall?"
Fontaine asked his lawyer, Marshall Matiste, of Matiste Rapalego Niyembo, whose premises consisted of three notebooks and an antique Chinese bicycle. Marshall made tooth-sucking noises on the other end of the line, and Fontaine knew he was looking at the lists the boy had pulled up.
"There seem to be lists of the contents of safety deposit boxes as required under state law in various jurisdictions. Anti-terrorist legislation keeps people from stashing drug precursors, nuclear warheads like that. Plus, it was supposed to help prevent money laundering, but that was when money could still be big stacks of green paper. But if I were you, Fontaine, I would be asking my lawyer a different question. To wit, am I not breaking the law by being in possession of these documents?"
"Am I?" Fontaine asked.
Marshall maintained telephone silence for a few seconds.
"Yes," he said, "you are. But it depends on how you got them. And I have just determined that the actual owners of the listed properties, in every case, are dead."
"Dead?"
"Entirely. These are probate documents, still protected by law, but I would say that some items on these lists are property, to be auctioned off as the various estates are executed."
Fontaine looked over his shoulder and saw the boy, still seated on the floor, down his third iced guava smoothie.
"How did you get these?"
Marshall asked.
"I'm not sure,"
Fontaine said.
"You aren't supposed to be able to decrypt files like this,"
Marshall said.
"Not unless you're the Fed. If someone else does the decryption, it's merely a privacy issue insofar as you're concerned. But if you're doing this yourself, or are knowingly party to it, you are in possession of, or a party to, possession of proscribed technology, which can earn you a stay in one of those extremely efficient prisons the private sector has done such a fine job of building and maintaining."
"I'm not," said Fontaine.
"Be that as it may," said Marshall, "if you were, you might be able, through judicious application, and with all due secrecy, to use said technology to reveal certain lucrative market discontinuities. Follow me, Fontaine."
"No,"
said Fontaine.
"Put it this way. If you have a way of getting hold of documents nobody else can, you might want to talk about it with someone who'd have an idea of exactly which documents might be most lucratively obtained."
"Hey, Marshall, I'm not into—"
"Fontaine, please. Anyone who sells second-hand cutlery and old rat-sacked toys, I understand it's an avocation, a calling. You are not in it for the money, I know. However, if you have a back channel into something else, I advise you to consult with your lawyer, me, at your very earliest. Hear me?"
"Marshall, I don't—"
"Clarice has been making inquiries of another partner in our firm, Fontaine. I tell you that in confidence."
Fontaine was not happy to hear it.
"She is talking divorce, my friend."
"Gotta go, Marshall. Customers."
Fontaine hung up. Marshall's news about Clarice was not all that new to Fontaine, but he had been so far successful in avoiding thinking about it. He became aware of a soft, steady clicking and turned to see that the boy had put the iPhones back on.